Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
From Hebrews 2, verse 1 through verse 4 yesterday, we were looking at the fact that the writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" That was preceded by the fact that that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And we were noticing a number of ways people disobey God. We noted from the example of Adam and Eve how that they violated a prohibition when God had said, "Thou shalt not eat thereof," regarding that tree in the midst of the garden, and they went ahead and gave in to temptation. They had violated God's will and thus had disobeyed him. We noticed also that there is sin that's committed through omission, failure to do what God has commanded. And then we were noticing when time ran out about the fact that not only through prohibition and through omission, but through addition, one can disobey God. And we noted the example of Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire to the Lord. It was still fire, but it was a strange fire which God had not commanded them. Well, a fourth way that people can disobey God is through substitution. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 14 and following, we have the story of King Saul going out to fight against the Amalekites as he had been instructed by the prophet Samuel. And in Adam and Eve, there was a prohibition, doing what God commanded, doing not what God had commanded. There was omission in Cain, Nadab and Abihu addition, but here there is substitution. The wicked nation of the Amalekites had committed all kinds of aggression against God's people. They had become a continuing threat. They were a moral cancer within the land, and God ordered this drastic action against them, the total liquidation of that nation. Through Samuel, God ordered King Saul to utterly destroy them, verse 3 of 1 Samuel 15. But Saul, when he returned from the battle, brought the best of the flocks, spared the king, and he claimed that this was going to be a sacrifice. But my friend, we cannot do anything for God which he has not appointed or approved. And in 1 Samuel 15:13, when Samuel asked Saul if he had kept the commandments, he said, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That's in verse 13. What Saul claimed, the bleating of sheep, the lowing of the cattle, contradicted. He was trying to substitute ceremonies and sacrifices for God's commands. And we're told that, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So through substitution, there is disobedience. Do people do any substitutions today? What about substituting sprinkling for Bible baptism, which is immersion? What about the substituting of a sound made from some kind of mechanical instrument as worship to God instead of the voice with which we are to praise God and offer the fruit of our lips in praise to His name, or singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, singing, making melody to the Lord, Ephesians 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, 16. There are all kinds of substitutions that take place today. And as it was in Bible days, is still a disobedience. A fifth way that people disobey God is through presumption. This form of disobedience was exemplified in the case of Uzzah. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3, the ark of the Lord has been lost when it was taken into battle by David, and he decides it's time to bring it back to Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel 6, 3 says, And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Now, it had been previously appointed in Numbers chapter 4, 18 and 19, that only certain ones should carry the ark, and they only carried in the prescribed fashion. Well, in this case, in 2 Samuel 6, the ox cart was a violation of God's word. It was a substitution. Instead of carrying it in the prescribed way, they have substituted the manner of transport. And when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah was concerned about the ark falling from the ox cart. Now, his intentions were entirely good and right, but his actions, unknowingly, were wrong. He was presuming that it would be okay with God for him to steady the ark that's on that cart. But he lost his life. God struck him dead. We're told in Psalms 19, verse 13, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions." To circumvent the laws of God and start guessing is religious presumption. And I see a lot of guesswork going on in religion today, and I'm sure that God one day will see that as disobedience. Well, another way that people can disobey God is what we might call usurpation. That means unauthorized or illegal seizure of power, to assume an unauthorized prerogative, or simply usurping power, usurping authority. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 and verse 8, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink." Well, instead of speaking to the rock, as God had plainly told Moses, Moses took his rod and he struck the rock. We're told in verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Well, when men assume authority in religion which belongs only to God, this usurping of authority becomes a matter of disobedience. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, "Women are not to speak or usurp authority over men." And yet there are many people today who are guilty of this disobedience by usurping authority and assuming too much that God has not plainly revealed in His will. Now, another way that people disobey God is through deception. People can be led into disobedience by being deceived. In 1 Kings chapter 13 is a tragic story of a young prophet. After the death of Solomon, Rehoboam refused the counsel of the old and the wise men who encouraged him to lift the burdens of taxation that were upon the people. But he discharged them from his cabinet. He didn't want their advice, and he surrounded himself with young men, and as a result, the division of the kingdom took place. Jeroboam led 10 tribes away, and Rehoboam was left with 2 tribes. The northern tribes, to keep the people from going back to Jerusalem to worship, had altars set up at Dan and Bethel, and no matter what the reasons were, they were unauthorized. Well, God sent a prophet to condemn the altars with this warning, "For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." Well, this prophet gave a blistering condemnation of those altars that were at Dan and Bethel. When Jeroboam reached out his hand to strike the young prophet, his hand withered and stiffened before him. He saw that he was opposing God, and then he pleaded for restoration of his arm. The young prophet healed him. Then Jeroboam made a political offer, a compromise. "Come to a banquet to my house." The young man said he wouldn't do so, even if half of his house was to be given to him. We see what determination, what boldness, what courage this young prophet had. And with those words, the young man resumed his journey. But it isn't long until he meets up with an old prophet in Bethel. And we might add, a lying old prophet. For 1 Kings 13, verse 18 says, "That old prophet, but he lied unto him." And what a tragic end of that young prophet's life. That when he knew plainly God's will, revealed God's will, that he was not permitted to eat, yet now gives in to a temptation, gives in to a suggestion that he can go back, he can visit with the people. But the Bible tells us that as a result of the old prophet lying to the young prophet was eaten by a lion. His life was lost. Those who refuse not the love of the truth but believe a lie will be damned in the belief of that lie. And John says, "Try the spirits, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So through deception, people disobey God. And then lastly, quickly, through outright rebellion, people disobey God. Deuteronomy 9, Moses reminds Israel how they had rebelled against God. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 16, God informs Moses that the people rebelled during his lifetime, and they will do even more. God's word to Moses was fulfilled. And through rebellion, through insubordination, people disobey God. So we've noticed 8 descriptive words with Bible examples and Bible verses of how people disobey God. Well, why do they disobey? Maybe apathy, maybe worldliness, maybe infidelity, maybe through false teaching that's been given. But Christ says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Friend, obey God's word. Don't live in disobedience to Him.